Today's shiur and every shiur throughout Chodesh Sivan is sponsored by Friends of Ben and Yael England. Just to quickly review what we covered last night in our first shiur, we pointed out that there is an isser to drink non-kosher milk. Non-kosher milk means milk from a non-kosher animal. Kalayotse minatame is tame. Anything that comes out of a non-kosher animal is by definition not kosher. An egg laid by a non-kosher bird is non-kosher. Milk that comes from a non-kosher animal is not kosher. That is an isser d'oraisa. Rambam, however, points out that although it's an isser d'oraisa, you don't get malchus for it. Right? That's how we started. Then we pointed out that our Mishnah says there's an isser called chalavakum, that you're not allowed to drink the chalav of a guy. The Gemara said, why is there an isser of drinking chalav of a guy? So the Gemara said, it's not because we're afraid that the guy is going to give you a cup full of pig milk and tell you that it's cow milk, because you'd have to be a fool not to realize that it's pig milk. It's a totally different color if it's pig milk. Elamai, what's the isser? What's the reason for the isser? The reason is that we're afraid he's going to mix in some pig milk into your cow milk, but it's still going to be rove cow milk for sure, but still there's going to be some pig milk mixed in. So the issue we dealt with primarily was that if that's what we're concerned about, that he can put in undetected a reasonable amount of pig milk that's going to be mixed in with your cow milk, shouldn't that itself be an isser d'oraisa then to take the milk from the guy? Why is chalavakum only an isser d'rabbanan? Sounds like it should be an isser d'oraisa. That milk that has that has pig milk mixed into it, sounds like that should be asur mid'oraisa. So the shach, so we have two mahalchim to answer this question, the shach and the chazanish. Let's go with the easier one first tonight. Chazanish says, well, very simply, that mid'oraisa, there's no reason you have to think that there might be pig milk in your cup of milk. Mid'rabbanan, they make you think that. They make you have to be concerned that maybe the guy that I bought milk from is the one Russia in the world who's going to decide to lace my cow milk with pig milk. And that's a requirement to be choshish midrabanan. But elachinami, if you know for sure there's some pig milk mixed in your cow milk, you have yourself a genuine iser d'oraisa. Right? It's just that midoraisa, you don't have to be concerned that there's any pig milk there. If you know there's pig milk mixed into your cow milk, it is in fact an isser d'oraisa. That is the Chazon Ish. The Shach, however, had a less pashut mahalich. The Shach said, no, when you have pig milk mixed into your cow milk, that itself is only asur midrabanan. Why? Because midoraisa, the pig milk is already batel. How did it become batel? Because we consider pig milk and cow milk min b'mino, and the halacha is midoraisa. When you have min b'mino, we gave a whole little hakdama to min b'mino, but the halacha is midoraisa, min b'mino, when you have two like kinds, it's batal barov. And we pointed out the svara. It doesn't make sense for min b'mino to be batal b'shishim, because min b'mino, the whole idea of shishim is to overwhelm the qualities of the isser and to totally nullify whatever, to make it totally undetectable. But when you're having min b'mino, nothing overwhelms each other. To the contrary, they enhance each other. And the qualities are more felt. The larger the volume, the more easy it is to detect the great taste and the qualities of the foods that you're mixing. So min b'mino midar raisa is batal brov. So says the shach, that's what's going on in our Mishnah. When a guy gives you milk, you have to assume that the milk has some pig milk mixed in, enough pig milk that it's going to be a problem, that it's not batal b'shishim, right? Enough pig milk that it's at least a problem midrabanan, but midar raisa, it's no problem because it's batal brov, it's min b'mino. All the achronim ask on the shach, and this is what we pointed out, Rabbi Kiveger, Pischei Tshuva, they all ask on the shach, that shach, lishitascha, what you hold to be the definition of min b'mino, doesn't work out. Because you, the shach, hold min b'mino is defined by taste. And pig milk and cow milk taste nothing alike. Or so we've heard. That pig milk and cow milk taste nothing alike, we think, and therefore, it shouldn't be called min b'mino. So shach, lishitascha, your mixture of cow milk and pig milk should be an isser d'oraisa. It should not be an isser d'rabbanan, because really it should be min v'she'eino mino. And min v'she'eino mino is not batal barov midaraisa, you need shishim. So your mixture should be an isser d'oraisa, it should not be an isser d'rabbanan. So that's the kasha they all ask on the shach. Now, to be clear, I wasn't clear last night, the Noda B'Yehuda doesn't really defend the shach. What the Noda B'Yehuda does is he tries to show how a mixture of pig milk and cow milk, where you, let's say you have 60% cow milk, 40% pig milk, 70% cow milk, 30% pig milk, something like that, some mixture like that is going to be only asur midrabanan, but not for the same reason that the shach said it's asur midrabanan. The shach and the debuta agree that such a percentage, 70-30, 80-20, whatever it is, of mostly cow milk and pig milk mixed in, is definitely going to be asur midrabanan. The reason the shach says it's only midrabanan is that it's min b'mina. No, the debuta says no, it's asur midrabanan, but nothing to do with min b'mina. It's asur midrabanan, even though it's min b'she'enu mino. Why? What's the svara? Why is it asur midrabanan if it's min b'she'enu mino? If it's min b'she'enu mino, shouldn't it be asur midaraisa? After all, when you have min b'she'enu mino, you need shishim midaraisa. So shouldn't it be asur midaraisa? So that's the Nodibu that had this unbelievable chiddush, where the Nodibu that wanted to say the very concept of shishim is based on the concept of tam ki ikr. That part's not a chiddush, that's pashut. That when you have the very requirement of needing 60 times the volume to nullify the lesser quantity, the isr, is based on the idea that if you don't have 60 times the quantity, you're able to taste the isr, right? It's all based in tam. And the fact that you can taste the isr means you have a problem. Meaning, if you don't hold tam ki ikr, so what? I taste the isr. I'm drinking pretty much cow milk. But if you hold tam ki ikr means that, yeah, there's cow milk, but it has a taste of pig milk in it. And that's going to be a problem. That's called tam ki ikr, that when you have tam of something, it's like you're having the non-kosher item itself. So the very idea of shishim is based on tam ki ikr, and the Yehuda wanted to be mechadesh, that when do we say the chiddush of tam ki ikr? Only by isurim that started out as an isur that involves malchus. But if it's an isur that even when it started, even in its rawest form, doesn't have malchus, then there would be no concept of tam ki ikr. So for instance, where do we know tam ki ikr from? So we started discussing last night. When the Jewish people went to war with Midian, we had a whole bunch of pots and pans and forks and knives and plates and stuff that we were able to take from them. Problem is, they use those pots and pans and forks and knives and all those kelim to eat chazer, to eat nevela, to eat trefos. They cooked in them. So it was, now, was there any actual pieces of nevela in the pot? No, it was clean. The pots were clean. But they were cooked in the pot. There was non-kosher food cooked in the pot. So what did we have to do? The Torah commanded us, the Torah tells us, we have something called, hopefully, God willing, sometime this summer, maybe we'll get to this topic a little bit. The Torah told us that there's a mitzvah called, or a chiyuv, called hagalas kelim, to kasha the kelim. What does kashering the kelim do? It purges whatever tam is trapped in the walls of the kli. You can't see it, you can't feel it, but we assume you can taste it. Whatever tam is trapped in the walls of the kli gets purged from the kli, and then you're able to use that kli. That's the idea of Hagalas Kelim. Says another Yehuda. What were we worried about? What tam of what was in the kelim that we got from the Gayim? It was tam of chazer, tam of nevela. Well, when you eat nevela, it's nisa daraisa. If you eat an actual nevela, it's nisa daraisa, and you get malchus. So another Yehuda says, maybe when the tam that we're worried about is tam of something for which you would get malchus if you were to eat it in its rawest form, if you were to eat the nevela straight up, you'd get malchus. So when you're purging, that's what we say, you have to worry about the tam of such an item. You have to worry about the tam of an isser that's so severe that you would get malchus if you ate that isser straight up. But when you're dealing with an isser that doesn't get you malchus, that's not even so severe. It's an isser daraisa, but it doesn't get you malchus. Like what? Like chalav that comes from a non-kosher animal. Pig milk. It's asr. You don't get malchus for it. So when you're dealing with such an isr, the tam is never asr. Only if you drink the milk it's asr. But if you taste the tam of the milk mixed in your cow milk, maybe that's not asr. Maybe there's no such concept of an isr daraisa of tam of non-kosher milk. Only actually drinking a glass of non-kosher milk is asr midaraisa, not the tam of non-kosher milk. That was the chiddush of the Nodeb Yehuda. Now, Nodeb Yehuda points out that there are those that ask on, that one might want to ask on this chiddush, based on the Tosfos from Pesachim and Daf Mem Daled. The Tosfos over there says that Tosfos wants to figure out how we can compare, let's say a Nazir has a Kli. So what's a Nazir not allowed to have? Nazir is not allowed to have wine or any grape product. It's a Nazir d'oraisa, right? So let's say a Nazir has a Kli that you cooked grape products in, you cooked wine in the Kli. So Nazir has to do Agalas Kelim. And we learn it from Midyan. Just like by Midyan, if it has Nevela in the Kli, we have to do Agalas Kelim. For Nazir also, we have to do Agalas Kelim. So Tosfos, in Mesechus Pesachim, asks, in Daf Mem Dalin, he says, Eich Yolif Nazir mi Gilui Nachrim, ha Nazir Kal. Tosfos says, how could you derive Nazir from Gilui Nachrim? Nazir is more Kal than Gilui Nachrim. It's not as severe an Isser. And Tosfos answers that, yeah, but think about, what did we get from Midian? You think the Midianites only used their kelim for Nevela and Trefa and Chazer and didn't drink any wine? They probably had kelim that they drank wine from also. And if they had kelim that they drank wine from also, so any Nazir in Klal Yisrael had to purge those kelim too. So the very chiddush in the Torah where it tells us about Agdolas kelim, who says it's only about Nevelas and Trefas? Tosfos says, maybe the idea of Hagalas Kelim was also about purging it of wine that was Balua in the Kelim. Frekta no de Behuda, and if that's the case, maybe what else was Balua in the Kelim of the Midianites that we needed to get out of the Kelim? Maybe pig milk was Balua in the Kelim. No de Behuda says, I'm trying to tell you this Chiddush, that the whole idea of Tam Keiker, which we learn from the Blios of the Kelim, from Midian, is limited to those Yisurim that are Chiyuv Malkos, Nevela, and Chazer, and things like that. Because what else are we purging from the Kelim of the Midianites? Says Tosfos. And some of the Kelim only had Tam of Yayin, and we have to purge that too. So Frekta no de Behuda, maybe some of the Kelim only had Tam of pig milk. And that was also part of the requirement of the Torah. How can I come and be mechadish to you that there's no din of Gilui Nachum, there's no din of Tam Kikr, there's no din of Agalas Kelim on milk, on non-kosher milk? How could I ever say such a chiddush? Who says that in the Torah when they were doing Agalas Kelim, they weren't being magil milk? Maybe that's what they were doing Agalas Kelim for also. Maybe there were guys that had meat allergies, that were vegetarians or whatever, and yet do Agalas Kelim on their Kelim also, because of the milk. Because of the non-kosher milk. And then my whole Kiddush goes away, says No de Behuda. Then I'm stuck. Because then I can't argue that the whole Tam Kikr only applies to Nevela and not to milk. Maybe by the Gilui Nachrim, just like Tosfos is willing to say, they were Magil to kill him from wine, maybe they were Magil to kill him from milk also. So says No de Behuda, well, wait a second. It's a ridiculous comment of Tosfos if you put a little thought. He says, what's Tosfos saying? That we had to do Hagalas Kelim because of wine that was Balua in the Kelim? And that's why we see from Klei Midyan that wine is, that for a Nazir, that a Nazir is not allowed to have Tam of wine that's Balua in a Kli either? He says, how do you see that from the Torah? All the Torah says, do Hagalas Kelim. It's true, there might be Kelim that have wine in it. But what's those telling me? I'm doing Hagalas Kelim purely because of wine? I'm not doing Hagalas Kelim purely because of wine. What am I doing Hagalas Kelim for? Because of all the non-kosher foods that they ate. Now, the same Kelim that have taste of wine in it probably also have taste of Nevela and Trefa and Chazer and all the other stuff. So what's Tosfos telling me? That you see that wine is serious enough for a Nazir that it requires Hagalas Kelim because we must have kashered out Kelim of wine also that we got from them. If we did, we probably only did it because there was Nevela and Trefa in there also, not because of the wine, not because of the Yayin Shabbat. So comes another view, then he says, no, what you see is, and he points this out from Pnei Yeshua, what you see is that Kelim used for wine are fundamentally different than other Kelim. Where do you have wine? When do you have wine in your Kli? What kinds of Kelim do you use for wine in your house? You have the Kiddush cup? You have maybe the fountain thing pours out, right? Do you ever cook wine in your house? Maybe sometimes you'll have for cooking wine. But usually the ruba de ruba, the times you use kelim, you use special kelim for wine. You don't have kelim for wine that you use for everything else. So Pnei Yeshua says, the fact that we had to do Agalos kelim on all the kelim, even the kelim that were used primarily for wine and weren't really used for other things, that shows you that the wine, balua in kelim, is a problem for a nazir. Because why else would we have to do agalas kelim on that? But kelim that are used for milk in a non-kosher home are the same kelim that are used for nevela and trefa and chazer. So the fact that we have to do agalas kelim on the pots and pans and forks and knives and plates of the midyanim is not because of the chalav, it's because of the nevela and everything else. The fact that we have to do agalas kelim on the wine, that's a raya, that wine is significant enough. But doing agalas kelim on chalav, on kelim that we use for milk, doesn't tell me that chalav is significant enough. Chalav is totally insignificant. I'm not doing it for the chalav, I'm doing it for the meat and whatever else was cooked in those kelim. And therefore, says the Nodav Yudah, I'm back to my chiddush. I'm back to my chiddush suggesting that there's no requirement of agalas kelim for chalav. And the reason there's no requirement of agalas kelim for chalav is because chalav is not an issue that you get malchus for. And that's why, when you have chalav tahar, that's, let's say, 80% cow milk and 20% pig milk mixed in, mida oraisa it's mutter. Because the whole isser would be an isser of tam, and there is no isser of tam when it comes to milk, because milk has no chi of malchus. That's what Nodav Yudah wants to say. So Rav Pesach Frank sort of sets up the machlokas between Nodav Yudah and the Shach, and he points out that, again, like we said, Nodav Yudah and the Shach are in total agreement that when you have a mixture of 80% kosher milk, 20% non-kosher milk, that it's, you have on your hands an Isra Drabanan. They disagree as to why it's only Drabanan. Nodav Yudah, the Shach says it's because it's considered min b'mino, and Nodav Yudah says, no, it's min b'sheino mino, but I have my fantastic chiddush about the fact that you don't say Tam Kiyaker. That's how Tzvi Pesach Frank lays it out for us. And Nodav Yudah's moda to the Shach, v'lav mi temei. Tzvi Pesach Frank points out there's a major kasha on the Shach. The Gemara, which God willing we'll get to eventually on Lamed Tes, tells us, the Gemara has the following kasha. Rav in the Gemara in Daf Lamed Tes says that chalav is asur b'chosam echad and gvinos are mutaros b'chosam echad. That if you're getting a milk delivery, one seal is not enough. We don't pass like this in Shulchan Aruch. We said yesterday we pass one seal is enough. But when you're getting a cheese delivery, one seal is good enough. The Gemara over there, Lamed Tes Amud Beis, asks, Maishna gvina de lo taruchu mezayev, chalav nami lo taruchu mezayev. Why is one seal good enough for cheese? We assume that it's not worth the guy's time to forge a seal to get you, you know, treif cheese, to stick treif cheese in there for you. But, so, frankly, Gemara, so you can say the same thing about chalav. Chalav and cheese are the same thing. Chalav and gvina are the same thing. According to the Shach, what do you mean, chalav and gvina are the same thing? They're very different. Chalav is nisa daraisa according to Rav. The Shach said chalav tahar, mixed with chalav tam, is only asumi drabanan, and why? Because min bimino is really batal barov mi daraisa. Someone said yesterday, forget who, someone made the point, that min bimino logically shouldn't be batal at all. Min bimino really enhances each other. It shouldn't be batal at all. Who said it? I don't know. So min bimino shouldn't be batal at all. And remember I told you yesterday, that's a machlokas tanaim. And there is a shita like that. But guess what? Rav holds like that. Rav holds that midor raisa, min bimino zaser b'mashehu. We don't pass in this way. But again, Rav holds, you stick a tiny drop of non-kosher chicken soup into a huge vat of kosher chicken soup, the entire chicken soup is not kosher. It's asur b'mashehu. Because it's never butthole, it's just enhancing each other. So now, cheshbon for a second. If the Shach holds when you have 80% cow milk, 20% pig milk, it's only asur midrabanan. Why? Because it's min b'mino, and min b'mino is butthole barov. But Rav, who holds min b'mino is asur b'mashehu, is going to say that what? When you have 80% cow milk, 20% pig milk, you have on your hands, what kind of iser? And it's a doraisa. So, Frecht, the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, on the Shach, according to the Shach, the chalav of a cow and chalav of a pig are considered min bimino. How could the Gemara ask on Rav, what's the difference between cheese and milk? A big difference. Cheese is only asa midrabanan. Gvina sakam is only midrabanan. But the chalav is going to be asa midal raisa. Chalav akum is the tarovus of min bimino, which Rav Lishitasa holds is never batel midal raisa. It should be asa midal raisa. So if you, the Shach, really want to say that chalav of a cow and chalav of a pig is considered min bimino, how are you going to explain that Gemara that seems to assume, according to Rav, chalav is only a tarovus of chalav is only drabanan? It should be daraisa. Min bimino is never batel. That's the kasha that he asks on the Shach. But he basically starts the tshuva by saying, I was wondering, different types of chalav, are they min bimino or are they min b'sheino mino? Oh, look, I discovered everyone talks about it. And then he goes through the Shach, the Nodibiyud, and everybody. That's his kasha on the Shach. But he doesn't let the Nodibiyud off the hook either. He's got a kasha on the Nodibiyud also. Again, Nodibiyud holds chalav and chalav, chalav of a cow, chalav of a pig, is min b'sheino mino. Right? They're two different kinds. Taste different. How are we supposed to know if it tastes different and tastes the same? So, we can't taste it to find out if it tastes... I guess we could ask a guy, does it taste the same or taste different? But we look in the Shas and we see if the Gemara had a raya one way or the other, right? So he says there's enough in a raya from the Gemara, Valdezara, Laman Hev and Beis. We only learned 4 lines of Mesachs of Valdezara. In those 4 lines, there's enough in a raya that the Nodibid is wrong. That cow milk and pig milk must taste exactly the same. What's the raya? How does the Gemara play out? The Gemara says, well, what's our problem with milk? What's going to be the problem if a guy gives us milk? So if the problem is that he's going to give us pure 100% pig milk, that's not a problem, you'll see it. So what does the Gemara say? Imishuma aruve, maybe he's going to mix in pig milk and cow milk together. So the Gemara says, no, you could still catch him. You know how you can catch him? Try to turn it into cheese and see if it works. And if there's pig milk mixed in, it won't turn into cheese. Right? So says Gemara, well, that's only if you want to make cheese out of it. That would work great. But let's say you're not interested in making cheese. You want a glass of milk. You want to make chocolate milk. So that's not going to help you. So then what do you do? Okay, so take a piece of it. Take a little bit of milk out and make cheese out of that, the Gemara says. Frekvi Basic Frank, the Hartzvi. Rav of Yerushalayim, great-grandfather of Rav Yonasan Sachs, Shlita. Not to be confused with Rabbi Jonathan Sachs. Not the Lord. Frekvi Basic Frank, very pashut. The Gemara is trying to find a way that you'll be able to figure out if there's pig milk mixed in your cow milk. Go to your next door neighbor, ask him to taste it, and see what he says. If he says, wow, I didn't know you Jews eat pig milk. It's delicious. Then you know that it tastes like pig milk. If you're worried that there's a no saint tam, there's more than 1/60th pig milk mixed in, ask a kfeil arma. Now, the sugya of kfeil arma happens to be a huge sugya in Yoredeya, like every comment we're going to make, and you know, we're going to have at least 5 times in each year about how things are a huge sugya in Yoredeya. But it's a big sugya about whether you're allowed to trust a non-Jew, and in what situations you're allowed to trust a non-Jew. There's a concept of masiach lefitumo. If he knows that you're trusting him for an issue of kashrus, maybe then it's not okay, but if he's just saying it stam, you go over to him, you drop some milk in your chicken soup, so you go over to him and you say, can you taste this chicken soup for me? And he says, or you don't say taste, you just say, I've made a delicious chicken soup, I wanted to give you a bowl. And he says, this is good, but I'm telling you, my chicken soup recipe is much better because I put milk in mine. So then you know there's no taste of milk in yours, right? That's... Or if he says, this is just like my mother makes it, and with milk and butter and whatever, then you know that you have a problem. Masiach l'fitumo. So that's a major discussion. It happens to be machlokas mechaber rama about the parameters of trusting masiach l'fitumo. There's an interesting discussion in Poskim. If a Svardi is allowed to trust a guy about what something tastes like, and an Ashkenazi is not, right? But Ashkenazi is allowed to trust the Svardi, right? So if an Ashkenazi has food, he can just give it to the Svardi to give to a guy. The Svardi could trust the guy. He believes the guy. Once he believes the guy that it doesn't taste like anything bad, he could taste it, confirm that for you, and you can trust him, right? So it could work out. You could play games like that. But the the at least it's a kasha that the Rishonim raise whenever we have issues of tam. Why don't you just give it to a kfela? Kfela means a taster, a guy, a cook, a chef who is sensitive to taste. Give it to a non-Jewish chef. So Frecht of Sipes Frank, the fact that the Gemara never raised the possibility and the Rishonim never raised the possibility, none of the Rishonim asked on this Gemara, why don't you just give it to a guy, tells you what? That giving it to a guy must not help you. Why is it not going to help you to give it to a guy? Because the cow milk and pig milk taste exactly the same. And that's a raya, the Nadavid is wrong and the Shach is right. That cow milk and pig milk are min bimino. It's not min b'shein amino. They taste exactly the same.
Question? Min bimino is only taste?
Well, right, you weren't here. The Shach holds min bimino right, is based on taste. The Ramah holds that it's based on shame. So shame is a little more complicated.
You can't say none of these are less than the Ramah?
No, meaning the Nadavid is working within Shach. He's arguing on the Shach. Meaning, yeah. So that is now that kasha the Nadavid has on the Shach. Why don't you just give it to a guy? It could be that it's not the strongest kasha in the world for a couple of reasons. First of all, whenever you have a kasha about what's not said, where your whole raya is based on what's not said rather than what is said, it's always a little bit weaker. Right? The Rishonim don't ask this kasha. You know, it could be they don't ask this kasha because they just asked it an amud earlier in the sugya of Gvina Sakum. So they just dealt with the kasha. They don't feel a need to ask it again. I don't know. There are like dozens of reasons why they didn't ask something. So I remember when I was in Karen Biavna, I was in with Stav Shir for about a month. And I remember he said, he read a rush and he said, "Nu? What bothers you about this rush?" Everyone's looking at each other. "Oh, that sounds good to us." And he says, "There are three other places in Shas where the Rosh should have asked this question first. And he waited till here to ask the kasha. Didn't bother me. You know, didn't learn the other three places in Shas." So, I mean, like, these, if you know enough, I guess, but I don't know. These the rayas about what's not said are very often not the strongest rayas. But there's another reason why the Nadav Yehuda's kasha on the Shach. I'm sorry, the Sipes of Frank's. Keep saying it back. The Zibes of Frank's kasha on the Nod Bihuda is not such a strong kasha. There's a major chiddush of the Ramban in the sugya of Gvina Sakum, which, by the way, is going to be our next sugya. We're going to have to go backwards before we go forwards. Gvina Sakum is basically bottom of Laman Heyman Aleph till the Mishnah. It's awkward to start not at a Mishnah, so we started with Chalav Akum. But then we'll go more Keseder. There's a major comment to the Ramban, where the Ramban says, when it comes to Gvina Sakum, so there are six different reasons the Gemara gives as to what the problem would be with non-Jewish cheese. So one of the reasons the Gemara gives that it might be a problem is that the maimed of the cheese, that which makes the cheese curdle, the milk turn into cheese, is or kevas nevela, which means it's a piece of... Or it doesn't really mean a piece of skin. Over here, it's a piece of meat. Or means it's really a piece of meat from a nevela animal. That's what they stick in the I forgot what it's called already, the udder that has the milk in it, and that they clean it out, and that meat right around that area, they stick it into the milk, and that causes the milk to turn into cheese somehow, right? So if it's or kevas nevela, that's you have a problem. So the kasha that the Ramban asks is, why don't we just follow Nosin Tam? Why don't you just look at whether the or gave tam into the milk or didn't give tam into the milk, and then you'll know if you have a problem with the cheese. Just see if there's tam. If there's tam of the or kevas nevela in there, then it's a problem. If not, then it's not a problem. So the Ramban has a tremendous chiddush. If you look in source number 9 at the very end, the last 3-4 lines, he says, "Lo kasha. Any issue relating to Goyim, that means any issue relating to foods that are usher because they came from a Goy. Means all of the halachos of Machalayakum, Kvinasakum, Bishalakum, Chalavakum, all that whole area of halacha. We never are concerned with Tam. We're not going to say, oh, if there's no tam of what we're worried about, then it must be that it's okay. It doesn't taste like pig milk in here, then it must be okay. We never say that by Machalayakum. Ve'ein matim in osam l'kfeila. and you never give it to a non-Jewish person to taste. Ela kivun d'shkiach b'utayma osnosa li'olam kadesh l'yifritzu. Since very often you're in a situation where there will be tam of something not kosher in it, we say regardless of whether there's tam of something not kosher or not, it's always going to be us. So the Ramban basically says, tremendous chiddush. What was Rav Tzvi Pesach Sol Kasha on Nadav Yehuda? Why don't you just taste the milk and see if there's chazer in there? And if there is chazer in there, then it will be a problem. If you don't taste the chazer in there, it won't be a problem. According to the Ramban, we don't do that with Macholei Akum. That whole avenue of exploration, trying to figure out what the Metzias is, isn't done in this area of halacha. That's a Yoredeya to Basa B'chol of Tarovas issue. It's not a Macholei Akum issue. When it comes to Macholei Akum, we're not going to trust Tam. Why are we not going to trust Tam? It's not that we don't believe it. It's that, as he goes on to say, usually with the Macholei Akum halachos, there are other reasons that it's usher besides for the stated reason of we're worried that there's something not kosher mixed in. Like, for instance, by the cheese, the Gemara gave 6 reasons. So yeah, one of the reasons is Arkei Vasnevela. But there's 5 other reasons. So since there are enough other reasons involved, we generally aren't makel just based on tam. By every issue of Macholei Akum, we have the one overriding reason, which we pointed out Rashi and the Mishnah says, chastos, you always have that. So with Macholei Akum, we're just always going to play it safe and never rely on tam. So based on that, you could argue that the kasha that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank asks on the Nadav Yehuda is not the strongest kasha. On the flip side, so now we've established that according to the Shach and according to the Nadav Yehuda, if you have your milk that's 80% cow milk, 20% pig milk, you have what kind of issur? Drabanan or daraisa? According to everybody, you have only an issur drabanan, right? So you're not allowed to buy milk from a guy because you're worried that the milk you're buying might be an issur drabanan, right? There's a Tosfos in Laman Hei Amud Aleph. Small Tosfos, not so threatening. Again, it's in the Gvinas Akum Sugya. It's talking about cheese. And it says cheese is also because you're mimed it with the piece of a nevela. So Frek Tosfos, why do you have to say that it's a nevela that you're mimed it with? The fact that you put a piece of meat into milk to change the milk into cheese, shouldn't that itself be a problem? Even if it's the most kosher meat in the world. It's a problem. Why? It's basa b'chalav. Forget about nevela. You're sticking meat into milk. How do we make cheese? We don't use animal rennet, right? We would use, we'd have to use, what Tos is suggesting, at least in the kasha, is you wouldn't be allowed to use animal rennet. You would have to use vegetable rennet or something like that, some vegetable derivative. Ba'asavim, right? That's what the Rishonim talk about. So anyway, so Frank tells, Ma'ir yin nevela? Afilu shchutinam yasurim, mishum basa b'chalav. He says, basa b'chalav midaraisa is made how? How do you have a chefetz of basa b'chalav midaraisa? If I take a hamburger and I put cheese on the hamburger and the hamburger is not so hot, I do not have basa b'chalav midaraisa. Basa b'chalav midaraisa is when you take kosher milk and kosher meat and you cook them together. Derech bishul asra Torah. It's only when you mevashel the basa and the chalav together does it create basa b'chalav midaraisa.
It has to be kosher.
Yes, how kosher is not exactly clear. Meaning, it definitely has to be from a kosher species. It definitely has to be cow meat. Let's say if it's pig meat.
Possibly
nevela
as well.
Right, nevela is the discussion in Nosei Kelim at the beginning in Yoredeya in Hilchos Basa B'chalav. So that's a discussion. Nevela, treifa, right? That's a discussion. But if it's pig meat, it's not going to make basa b'chalav. If it's pig milk, it's not going to be basa b'chalav. Right? That's basa b'chalav. You have cow milk, cow meat, put it together and cook it together. Dafka derech bishul asra Torah creates basa b'chalav. Let's say you're not mevashalit, but you do something that enables the tam to transfer from one to the other. You soak the hamburger in milk. So there's definitely milk mixed in. Still, derech bishul asra Torah. There's a concept in halacha called kavish kamavushal. Once we're discussing yardaya type inyanim, kavish kamavushal, which means that if something soaks for 24 hours, it has the same effect as cooking, even though there was no heat. So if let's say you have a Tupperware container where you put a moist piece of cheese into the Tupperware container and you put it in your refrigerator for 24 hours and it stayed there moist in the container, so that container is now milchus. Right? It's ki'ilu you cooked in it.
It's dafka moist. It's dry, it's not a problem.
It's not called kavish if it's dry, or like meat with sauce, right, in Tupperware containers. So that's why that would make it, if it stays there for 24 hours, that would transfer the time. Let's say you soak a hamburger in milk for 24 hours, so that would only be midrabanan, because that's not real bishul. Even that would only be basar b'chol midrabanan. So says, what's Tosa saying over here? When I put nevela into the milk to make cheese, so now I'm putting an Issur d'oraisa in, I have to be concerned of an Issur d'oraisa that's in there, because nevela is in there. That's an Issur d'oraisa. When you just put kosher meat rennet into the cheese, at worst, what are you going to have? There's no heat. At worst, you're going to have an Issur d'rabanan. For an Issur d'rabanan, we wouldn't make a gezeira of kvina sakum. If all we were concerned about was that the goyim were putting kosher meat rennet into the milk to make cheese, that would only be an Issur d'rabanan. So for a chashash that he might be doing something that's going to land up being an Issur d'rabanan, it's going to end up being an Issur d'rabanan, we don't have to make a gzera. There wouldn't be such a thing as gevina sakum. So what's my kasha going to be? What are we saying now? According to the Shach, according to the Nodbi Huda, you have 80% cow milk, 20% pig milk. That's the whole chashash of Chalav Akum, is that maybe he's giving you something that's 80% cow milk, 20% pig milk. But according to the Shach and according to Nadav Yehuda, when you have such a ratio, what do you have? Nisa Drabana. So we're going to make it us to get milk from a guy because maybe he's going to give you Nisa Drabana. Tosfos Naaman Aleph says, if maybe he's going to give you Nisa Drabana, then we're not going to worry about that. We're not going to make a gzera, don't have this kind of food, because it might be an Issur d'rabanan. You want to call it gzera, whatever you want to call it. Tosfos says such a yesod. Why would it be any different by cheese than it is by milk? Now there are other answers to Tosfos kasha, it's true. You can answer Tosfos kasha many other ways. But Lefi Tosfos' answer, that we wouldn't make a whole gzera of gvinas akum if the only concern were that it would be an Issur d'rabanan that he's giving you, then why do we make an Issur of Chalav Akum if the concern is that it's an Issur d'rabanan that he's giving us? So I'm not 100% sure what the answer is, other than to say that maybe Tosfos is mechalek between something that never was an Issur d'oraisa versus something that was Asur Midaraisa and was then mixed in. I'm saying, meaning, what's the whole Chiddush of Asur B'chalav in general? We had a share on this once. I think it's the lost share that was not recorded. The Chiddush of Asur B'chalav is you have two things that are totally mutter. Basar is totally mutter, Chalav is totally mutter. They're totally fine. You mix them together and you have an Isser. We discussed whether that's really a Chiddush. It's not totally unique in the Torah. You have it by Klayim also. Right, by shatness, you have two things totally mutter, put them together and they become asr. But the basar on its own and the chalav on its own is totally mutter. You then mix them together cold. You now have an isr d'rabanan. At no stage in the process did you ever have anything that was asr midaraisa. Before they were mixed, you had two totally kosher things. After they're mixed, you have one isr d'rabanan. So that's the concern by gvina. You have a totally kosher milk, you have totally kosher rennet, meat rennet, you're going to mix it together cold, and then you're going to have an Issur d'rabanan. So nothing was ever asur midaraisa. By the chalav, what's the concern? The chalav, the concern is he's going to take pig milk and put it into your cow milk. Pig milk is asur midaraisa. So it could be when Tosfos says we're not going to make a gzeira lest he gives you an Issur d'rabanan, he means an Issur d'rabanan that's not even ikaro midivrei Torah, that never even started with an Issur d'oraisa. But maybe we will make a gzeira for a concern that he's going to give you an Issur d'rabanan that was created by using something that was asur midaraisa, like pig milk. That's the best I can come up with. I can come up with better. I think otherwise it's a bomb kasha, no? According to everyone's understanding of the Mishnah, the Shach, and the Yudah, it's against Tosfos. I don't know. Yeah, you have an answer?
I don't know what the context of the Gemara is, but Tosfos doesn't sound like he's saying that because it's Darabanan, it wouldn't make gzeira, maybe some other reason why it wouldn't work in the context of the Gemara. Where are we getting from the fact that he says that if Shmuel would have been talking about a derabana, that would have been okay? We're assuming that because we wouldn't make gzeira on it, or why is that the next step?
There's another way you could say, well, because he's saying, why don't we ask for it even if it were Basar Shchuta? So he says, no, we're not going to ask for it even if it were Basar Shchuta, because that's only asked Midrash Rabbanan. No? Isn't that what he's...
What the context of the Gemara that it has to be?
Context of the Gemara is, why is cheese from a non-Jew asur? So the Gemara says, because they're mamid bekevas nevela.
I'm saying the other answers, the guy the one gave before, well, his answer was on the Reis of the Rabbanan level? Was he the answer on the Reis of
the other answers in the Gemara?
Yeah.
They go both ways.
They were there abundant, then clearly we are those there.
No, but Tos is saying Lefi this Shita, that Mamid Bar Kev Zavela, which we'll see might very well be the one we pass them like.
Isn't Tos just contrasting Nevela to Shkuta? You're saying it's Davka chose Nevela because it's Dereisa, not
Ah, so the other way to read Tosos is, Tos is not saying that Shkuta wouldn't be enough to make the Yisr. It would have been enough to make the Yisr, but we want to pick the example that's the most extreme. Meaning, if we want to say, if we want to drive home the point of how bad Gvina Sako might be, we use the example of something that's in Yisr Daraisa. Yeah, you could read Tos that way as well.
Didn't you just the Kula, was the Chumra? I mean, the Kula would show how Chumra actually is. If you say that even you can't have it because even with its kosher meat, as the even this is us, even though it's only Darabanan, meaning it'd be stronger to say that. It'd be stronger to give the kula as opposed to giving the chumra.
I mean, if you were to,
if you're for saying that even with kosher meat it still goes there, it is better than saying nevela. Like.
No, it's not. No, I'll tell you why not. Because you don't know what happened. You're just buying cheese from a guy, right?
Yeah.
So we're saying, what could have happened? Now, certainly if you know that he put meat rennet, you know, kosher meat rennet in it, so it might very well be that something that's going to be us or midrabana, and that you're not allowed to have. But you don't know what happened. So we're trying to say, so what do you have to be concerned about? So the best example to give is to give the biggest concern. Because no matter what you find out actually happened, it's going to be us, right? The whole point is you don't know. If you saw what he did and you saw he used vegetable rennet or whatever and you were right there watching him, we'll have to learn whether that's okay, but let's assume that that would be okay. The whole point is you don't know. So in your mind, you have to make it... What do I have to be worried about? Be worried about really big stuff. Be worried about this Nisadarais over here. Because that's a bigger worry. Okay. I've got the introduction. Right, let's... take a look at the Gemara. So most of you, I think, spent a good deal of time working on the back and forth in the Gemara, according to Rashi, according to Tosfos, the Rif. I just want to say over, exactly how I read it. Some guys, I think, opened my eyes a little bit over here. I wasn't 100% clear on everything. The Gemara has two distinct stages where it brings a discussion of cheese into the Chalav Akum Sugya. And as I said to you yesterday, this sugya is the Chalav Akum sugya. It's not the Gvinas Akum sugya. What we're dealing with is not buying cheese from a guy. We're dealing with buying milk from a guy. The way to tell that it's kosher milk is by making cheese out of it. Because you can't make cheese out of non-kosher milk. But cheese is only a hechitimtza of proving that it's proper Chalav. We're not talking about all the potential issues of Gvinas Akum, right? Yet the Gemara has two separate lines, where it talks about cheese. One line of the Gemara says, well, if you're buying the milk for cheese, ita kabay legvina, on the first wide line at the end of the line, ita kabay legvina achinami. Then you're right, there would be no reason to make any iser. If you're buying milk from a guy because you want to make cheese, so there can't be an iser of chalav akum. Why not? Because if you're going to turn it all into cheese, you'll see if it works or not. If it doesn't work, you got a problem. If it works, you have no problem. That's what the Gemara says. Then the Gemara goes on to say, well, wait a second. Even if you're not going to use all of it for cheese, you can use some of it for cheese. You want to use most of it for milk, for ingredients in other foods. at least take a little bit of it and try to make cheese. So the Gemara says, no, because when you make cheese, even out of kosher milk, there's something called the nesyuve de chalva. The nesyuve de chalva is some sort of liquid that's left over after you finish making the cheese. Now keep in mind, the cheese we're talking about is not cottage cheese, it's not cream cheese. Right? Those kinds of cheeses have tons of liquid that you see all the time. Right? We're talking about like those hard cheeses, you know, the circle cheeses with the holes in them and everything, all the different fancy kinds of cheeses. We're talking about real cheese. Right? We're not talking about cottage cheese and cream cheese. Happens to be a very interesting discussion in the Kvina Sakam Sugya, which we'll get to. But we're talking about real hard cheeses. So the Gemara says, well, even when you make cheese out of regular kosher milk, there's still nesyuve de chalva. There's still some parts of the milk that don't really get, that are remnants of the process, and they're usually discarded. So within the nesyuve, there might always be, the way Rashi understands the Gemara, within the nesyuve, there might always be a little bit of non-kosher milk, for all you know. So making cheese isn't really going to help you determine that the milk that you have is totally kosher milk. Right? That's how the Gemara says. So then the Gemara goes on to say, oh, wow, okay. V'yiba yisema, afilu temet dekabayla legvina, ika dekai beni atfi. So what does that line mean? Now we can say, okay, you want cheese. You're making it totally for cheese. And it's still aser. Why? Because there might be non-kosher milk in there and it's stuck in between the cracks of your cheese. So what changed between the line where we said, idikavai legvina hachinami, we said, oh, if you're going to make it all out of cheese, you're good, everything's good to go, it's fine, no problems. So three lines later where we say, yeah, kavai legvina ikitakai beniatfi. Even if you're going to make cheese out of the milk, it's still no good. There's still going to be some non-kosher milk that might be stuck between the cracks and you're not going to notice it. So what changed? Right, so that's the discussion the Rishonim seem to have over here. Tosus is the most pashut in terms of svara, probably the most difficult in terms of fitting into the Gemara. Tosus says, no, I'll tell you, very pashut. The first case, let's start with the last case. The second case, Tosus starts with, is you bought milk from the guy and you want to make cheese out of it. So when the guy sold you milk, he just knows he's selling you milk. He doesn't think he's selling you cheese, he's selling you milk. And you're going to make the cheese. So if he's selling you milk, he could mix some pig milk in there because he doesn't think you're planning on making cheese out of it. He doesn't plan on getting caught, right? He thinks you're just going to drink milk, so he sticks a little bit of pig milk in there. In that case, even if you do make cheese, you have to worry that pig milk might be stuck in between the cracks. What did the Gemara mean when it said, but if you plan on making cheese, then it's all good and you don't have to worry about anything? That's talking about where you didn't buy milk from a guy. You bought cheese from a guy. He made the cheese. Now, unless the guy's an idiot, if he's making the cheese for you, he wouldn't stick pig milk in there. Right? Because it's just going to cost him. Whatever pig milk he sticks in there is all loss for him, no profit. Because it's not going to increase the mass of the cheese, because it's just going to get stuck in the cracks, but it's not going to make the cheese any bigger. So he's not going to be able to sell you any more cheese with it. And it's only going to ruin the cheese, stick pig milk in it. So if he knows you're going to him and you're saying, here's my bottle of milk, I would like for you to make cheese with it, and then I would like to buy it from you. I'm paying you to make cheese with it. So he's not going to stick pig milk in there. And then you have no worries. Then it's all good. Now, what you have to then discuss is, okay, you have no worries in terms of chalavakum, but you're buying cheese from a guy. Isn't that the very definition of gvina sakum? So when you learn the Gvina Sakam Sugya, there are like 8 answers you can give to that. So it's not such a big problem. But that's what Tosus says. So the most Pashut Mahalik. Yeah.
Tosus reads the best in our Gemara. I mean, it could be the ass problem.
You think he reads the best in our Gemara? I don't know. I read the Imishum Idikabai Ligvina. What does the Kabai Ligvina mean? No, it's not saying Idilokeach Gvina. Saying it's a kabay legvina, you need it for milk, for cheese. Okay. Not that you're buying cheese from the guy. I mean, and how can you say chalav akum is we're trying to figure out what the problem with buying milk is. So we're gonna say, oh, what do you mean? If you're buying cheese, it's not a problem. Who's talking about buying cheese? We're talking about buying milk. I thought that line didn't fit nicely. Yeah.
Is it so clear that we're going in a monetary kind of thing that the reason why the Akum would never mix the two is because what is he gained by putting the tummy milk into the tar milk? Why would we say?
What else is his motivation?
Maybe just he knows that you'll be over in Nisr. He wants you to be over in Nisr.
So that's a major question. Do we assume that someone would try to make you, someone who's not known to be a bad guy, would try to make you violate an Isser when there's no benefit for him? What?
It's an expense
to him. So Pashup Shai, that expense to him, definitely not. When there's no gain for him, probably not. Right? I think that's the assumption. And we'll see. This will come up a lot. And this we're going to have to discuss in more detail. Yeah?
If you use that answer in the question of those also.
What?
That by Basra Chalav, there's more reason to be closer because we're more choshesh that you know, the guy is going to give you Chalav Tami. But by Gvina, we're not worried he's going to do anything wrong with Gvina in general. By Gvina, the guy won't do anything wrong with Gvina.
What do you mean? He's going to be mammon with Arkevas Nevela. That's not wrong.
Okay, it's a separate story. But by Basra Chalav, meaning there's more room, even though but the Basra Chalav there is only in Nisr Darabana. We're not worried to be choshesh. In general, we're not going to be gozer by Nisr Darabana. Over here, we're gozer by Nisr Darabana because there's more, it's like Reglaim Adav, right? There's more likely he's going to do it. But over there, Basra Chalav, he's generally not going to do that. Like we're not afraid he's going to use, meaning we're not going to make a gzera that he does it in case he does it.
Why?
Because there's no reason for him to.
Yeah, there is a reason for him to. He needs to make cheese though.
Right.
There, he needs to use something.
Like, there's just like a 50-50, like we'll see what he wants to use. Over here, Davka wants to give you chalav tmeya.
Why? Why does he want to give you chalav tmeya?
He'll gain from it, and he wants. Here.
Any more than, right? I think.
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
Rashi definitely didn't learn like Tosos. Rashi, the keywords in Rashi on the first wide line, Salka Daita Chashta Demuter. Right? What's he going on? He says that at the earlier stage in the Gemara is assuming that if you buy milk to make cheese out of it, it's mutter. Then the Gemara changed its mind, and the Gemara said, "Well, wait a second. If there are always these parts that have cracks in it, that things get stuck. So it shouldn't be mutter because treif milk can get stuck in the cracks and you'll never know about it." So Rashi clearly assumes that these aren't talking about two different situations, it's the same exact situation. You're buying milk and you want to make cheese out of it. The Gemara first thinks it's mutter, then it changes its mind and says it's aser. Hamsby Rashi's pshat fits better with the girsa of the riff that the second, that last line is not an iba yisema, it's a hashta da asis lahachi. It's now that we've explained that there are all these byproducts and cracks and things that get caught, so then you even have to worry if it does turn into cheese that there is non-kosher milk mixed in. So the Gemara is just changing its mind, is how Rashi understands. Question?
No, I just want to point that out.
That it works better with the Hashadas Lachi. Yeah. The Rif's gear says Hashadas Lachi. If you take a look at the Ramban, if somebody have like a mental block with reading Rambans, I have a very hard time reading Rambans, but the Ramban, I think, says like Rashi, I tried to read it, I think he's saying very very similar to Rashi with the Hashadasis Dasis Lachi Girsa. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow, what I want to, just to lay out what I'm going to try to discuss is whether the Isser of Chalav Akum is an Isser that's across the board, it's a Davar Shebeminyan and therefore became Aser, no matter what, even if you know better, or whether it's an Isser because of a Chashash, and when that Chashash doesn't exist, there's no such Isser. Very Nogei Lamaisa, several Nafkaminas, and then maybe we'll get into the Halach Lamaisa, all the Kulas that we have for why we're allowed to drink non-Chol Yisrael milk. 10 minutes left.